This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
What's going on, DMV? You know who it is. Youngest in Charge Movement. Linnell Willingham here with you live and local on 106.7 The Fan. And always streaming live nationally on the always free Odyssey app. Ride with me. It'll take you up to 10 o'clock here on this Thursday night edition of Overtime. I know a lot of you out there in your cars right now on the way to Cap One Arena. I was watching the late night edition of SportsCenter last night. SVP obviously does it right here in our nation's capital. And the old Wizards getting a shout out on the old national stage. And it wasn't just the performance of the Wizards last night as they beat a Kings team that absolutely, positively needed a W last night as they try to keep pace in the play-in in the Western Conference as we gear up for the postseason here in the NBA. But Scott Van Pelt and whoever his assistant was, I'm blank. I think it's Stanford Steve, is what the guy's name is, was crediting the attendance last night at Cap One Arena. I don't have official numbers for what the count was, whether or not it was a sellout crowd or not, but looking at the highlights on TV, kudos to the Washington Wizard faithful out there still supporting this group as they're in the midst of what we're calling a tank, but one of the most respectable tanks that I can remember if you consider what this group has done since February the 1st. History-making night last night for the D.C. family as well. Alex Saar, Bump Carrington, Keyshawn George became the first trio of rookies to make 100-plus threes in a single season. So shout-out to the young upstart Washington Wizards. They're in action tonight, second half of a back-to-back as they play host to Paolo Banchero in the Orlando Magic. For a guy, I remember 2-3 months ago, I'm going to go back to like late January, start of the calendar year, I couldn't keep my foot out the Wizards' ass. Every time I cracked this mic, I had something to say about the effort of that group. I had something to say about how hard they were playing on a night-in, night-out basis, the defensive intensity, but I keep going back to February 1st, and I understand they're still a 17-win basketball team. Let's not lose the main thing here. Let's not bury the lead, so to speak. They're a 17-win basketball team for a reason. But if you have watched this group and the habits that they have formed and built since February 1st, you got to be pleased. You got to be thrilled. Will Dawkins, Travis Schlenk, Mike Winger, the Wiz-Vengers, as we're calling them, the architects of this rebuild, doing an excellent job to this point. And I don't care what anybody has to say. I don't care if people look at this year's team and go, well, did you see the first half of the season, Linnell? Who cares? What they have done since February 1st, absolutely remarkable. Everybody that laces up a pair of sneakers and goes hard on the arena, on the hardwood, rather, at Cap One Arena, everyone's getting better. Alex Sarr gets better night in, night out. Bob Carrington's getting better night in, night out. Keyshawn George getting better night in, night out. For a draft class that was supposed to be one of the worst in recent memory. Remember all the hubbub. Don't forget about it now. I keep receipts. Don't forget about it. All of the talk pre-draft was, man, is this really the year to be tanking? Is this really the year to have a top five pick and have good lottery odds? Probably not. But you now fast forward as we're sitting here with what? They play the Magic tonight. I think we're, what, sitting here with like 6 or 7 games left to go in the regular season. After tonight, there will be 5 games left in the regular season, just one more at home next Wednesday as they play host to Philadelphia. But with 6, 7 games left to go, I think all of the NBA pundits that were poo-pooing on this year's draft class put some respect on the class's name. Not just the trio in Washington, right? Or excuse me, not a trio in Washington, the quartet in Washington. When you think about A.J. Johnson coming over from Milwaukee as well. When you think about the 4 young pups that the Wizards have, take them out of the equation for a second here. Zachary Richichet in Atlanta, doing the damn thing, playing great basketball. Matas Buzelis out in Chicago, doing the damn thing, playing excellent basketball. The rookie of the year front runner, and I know that's going to sound like a poison pill to some Wizard fans out there. What do you mean Alex Sarr is not the front runner for rookie of the year? The injury that he suffered about 2 months ago, we had to miss some time. That allowed Stephon Castle of the San Antonio Spurs to kind of unseat him for that rookie of the year. But it goes to show that if you have legitimate talent evaluators, right? If you have legit basketball minds in your front office, doesn't matter where you pick, doesn't matter what the consensus is about how good the class is. If you're an elite talent evaluator, you're going to find a diamond in the rough. You will leave no stone unturned when it comes to finding the premier talent in a draft. And Will Dawkins, Travis Schlenk, Mike Winger, they have done just that as this young Wizard team is in a really good spot moving forward. A really good spot moving forward. I saw a tweet, and I've been away from you guys for a little while, so this is a little bit dated. I think it was over the weekend. It was Chris Middleton saying, the hell yeah, man. We should be trying to make the playoffs next year. Whoa. Chris Middleton, hold your horses. Now, I understand that this group has been a lot more competitive. I understand that this group is fighting their tail off night in, night out. They're getting better. They're building good habits. But you don't want to make the postseason next year. You just don't. And look, ask the Detroit Pistons. Ask the Detroit Pistons how it goes. The Pistons, what was it, 4 straight seasons with the worst record in basketball, yet they could not land the number 1 overall pick in the draft lottery. I hope, I cross my fingers, crossing my toes, knocking on wood, doing whatever you got to do to get the basketball gods to have the ping pong balls bounce in the Wizards' favor. Because as fun as this is, right, if the Wizards end up with the 5th overall pick in this year's NBA draft, I'm going to be a little bit upset. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Now, obviously, they still have, you know, the tie for the 3rd best lottery odds, or the tie for the best lottery odds? Tongue twister. They are tied for the best lottery odds still coming up in the NBA draft lottery. So I understand folks last night were getting ready to have a heart attack, a conniption, because JT Thor with a dagger triple to put the nail in the coffin of the Sacramento Kings. That's okay if they win a couple of more games down the stretch. Obviously, we don't want them to win, and I think tonight, they'll never admit it, but tonight is a full-blown tankathon. Second half of a back-to-back. I might go suit up for the DC family tonight. Me and Metal Chris might rock the front court tonight going up against the Orlando Magic. Jordan Poole's out. Keyshawn George is out. Everybody's out. I'm going to go look at my email, the official inactives list, so I'm not just spewing lies to you all. But there are a lot of guys that are on the shelf tonight for the young Wizards, and that's okay because they're very, what's the word that I'm using? They're being very particular in terms of this development plan for some of these young pups. Tonight, Wizards without Chris Middleton, without Jordan Poole, without Rashawn Holmes, and obviously we know Malcolm Brogdon, Keyshawn George, they've been dealing with an ankle sprain, but Corey Kispert out for the rest of the year with the thumb surgery. Bilal Coulibaly out for the remainder of the year with the hamstring strain. And then Sadiq Bey, who we haven't seen all year long. I got a spicy take for you. If he doesn't get traded this offseason, because I think Sadiq Bey is prime trade bait. Using the word bait makes me feel uncomfortable. Back in the day, I'm a young pup, obviously. When I was in middle school, high school, there was this page. And if you're a youngin' out there in between the ages of, 27 and 30, you understand what I'm talking about. There was this page called DMV Bait. And when I used the word trade bait, it automatically took me to that. DMV Bait, the bait page, was like this weird guy out there doing like verses. Not the music verses that you see with your favorite R&B stars, your favorite rap artists. It would be like 7th grader X. Is he more fly or fresh than 7th grader B? That's here nor there. Sadiq Bey may be trade bait this offseason for the Wizards, but if he is not, I think he takes somebody's spot in the rotation next year. That young man can play, and he embodies everything that I think the Wizards are trying to be about moving forward. So super excited for the young pups tonight. They're in action, second half of a back-to-back, playing host to the Orlando Magic. We'll keep you up to speed all night long as we roll throughout this Thursday night edition of Overtime. But I want to get off of the Wizards for a second and go elsewhere around the NBA. As I mentioned, we are in that home stretch of the regular season, and we've got big-time games on tap tonight in the Western Conference. And I'm looking at the Lakers-Warriors matchup tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern time on TNT. If the season ended today, the regular season ended today, we would get a 4-5 matchup in the opening round of the postseason in the Western Conference between the Warriors and the Lakers. And I'll just be real here, right? Yeah, I know how I feel about LeBron James. You know the affinity I have for LeGoat James. Right now, if I had to pick them, if I had to pick a winner of that opening round series between Golden State and the LA Lakers, probably going with Golden State. Probably going with Golden State, and here's why, right? First of all, I doubted it when the trade was first made. We were right here on the air on Overtime when the Jimmy Butler deal went down. I had major doubts and reservations about how that duo, quote-unquote, will work out. I did. When those two share the floor, talking about Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler, I believe they're 18-2. So the Warriors clearly have it figured out. Steph Curry went Kanye crazy the other night, 3 three-pointers shy of breaking the record for the most threes ever in a regulation basketball game. But I look at the depth of Golden State. We know what Jimmy Butler and Steph Curry are going to give you. The trio of young pups, Moses Moody, Brandon Podemski, and then Jonathan Kuminga. They're other guys I trust a little bit more, right? And look, I'm a big of an Austin Reeves fan as anybody. I think he has done a tremendous job as the third option for the LA Lakers. But that's not going to be the problem, I think, out in La La Land come postseason time. I love Luka Doncic as much as the next guy. I think Nico Harrison and the Mavericks stuck on stupid, making the deal that they made. But if there's one thing I'm going to be critical of when it comes to Luka Doncic, and we saw it last year in the postseason, we've seen it every year pretty much in the postseason, I don't think he could guard me. If I'm being real about it, I don't think he could guard me. And if you're in a 7-game series against Golden State where you've got two premier guys that can go get to a basket in Jimmy Butler and Steph Curry, how do you hide Luka Doncic? Who does he guard? You're not putting him on Steph. You're not putting him on Jimmy Butler. Do you put him on Draymond Green? I don't know how you do it. But the way that the Warriors pop the basketball around the perimeter, the off-the-ball movement that they have, I can very easily see Luka Doncic getting lost on defense. And we know how this works in the postseason. You don't defend, you don't advance. Point blank, period. But I'm excited for tonight, a precursor, a little warm-up for a potential opening round matchup in the Western Conference, Lakers and Warriors coming up later tonight. We got a lot more to get to, though, here on this Thursday night edition of Overtime. Want to give some flowers to Shohei Ohtani. The Dodgers staying perfect. He hit a walk-off last night on Shohei Ohtani bobblehead night. Dodgers off to an 8-0 start, best start ever for a defending World Series champ. And it's not like the Dodgers are just running through the field here. They're the cardiac L.A. Dodgers right now. 6 of the Dodgers, 8 wins have been via the comeback. So shout out the L.A. Dodgers. Last night it was Shohei Ohtani going yard in the bottom of the ninth to give them a walk-off 6-5 win over the Atlanta Braves. And that's another major story to start here in the first couple of weeks of Major League Baseball. My old pal Carl Dukes out in Atlanta, I feel for you, brother. Braves off to a nasty 0-7 start. And last night, if you're an Atlanta Braves fan, you feel like, uh-oh, we got one. We're getting ready to snap the undefeated streak of the defending World Series champs, and then you got Ohtani'd. Is that what we're going to call it last night? You got Shohei'd. And I bring up Ohtani because he's obviously one of the unicorns in the world of professional sports. And what he is doing and what he's been able to do over the past several years on the mound and then as a hitter, we haven't seen him on the mound yet this year, it's special and it's unlike anything we've ever seen. We always find a way to tie it back to the National Football League, right? Can Travis Hunter be the Shohei Ohtani of the National Football League? Is Travis Hunter going to cement himself as a legitimate, bona fide two-way star? I think he's got every opportunity to do so. I think whoever drafts him, you would be doing your franchise an absolute disservice if you choose to not allow him to play both sides of the football. Let him play corner. Let him play wide receiver. If you watch the last couple of years in Boulder, if there is any thought and doubt about what this kid is made of, go cut on the tape. Go cut on the tape. It'd be organizational malpractice if he falls out of the top 5. I don't think Tennessee takes him at 1 because they're hot under the collar for Cam Ward out of Miami. I think Cleveland's the wild card here because I can see Cleveland going either way. It feels like, though, if you're the Browns, we think Kirk Cousins ultimately is going to be their answer at quarterback. If they go with Shedeur Sanders, I can't be mad at it. I think Shedeur is going to have a tremendous career in the National Football League. But I think Cleveland's one of his potential landing spots. I would rather see the Browns take Abdul Carter, though. Could you imagine Abdul Carter and Myles Garrett screaming off the edge, terrorizing AFC offenses next year? Be super, super fun to watch. But I think they probably should draft a quarterback. They're in a way different place than New York is, talking about the Giants. I've been talking about it over the past couple of days. I don't care what anybody says, what your favorite draft pundit says. I don't care what your favorite social media analyst says. The Giants would be a damn fool. Joe Shane and Brian Daboll would be stuck on stupid to draft a quarterback number 3 overall. There is a major, and I'm so glad here locally as a Commanders fan, we're finally not having to deal with the old quarterback conundrum. You brought in Russell Wilson. You brought in Jameis Winston. John Mayer's made it very clear. You got to win this year. He's also gave you some double talk saying, we'd love to find a long-term developmental quarterback. You can't have your cake and eat it too, John Mayer. If I was Brian Daboll, I'm spending a lot less time shooting myself up with Ozempic and eating the tuna subs from Subway, and I'm grinding the tape because I'm trying to find the best players available in the draft. It's about winning. If Joe Shane and Brian Daboll don't win games this year, they're going to be canned on the unemployment line. So this idea of them taking Shedeur Sanders at number 3 overall, come on. I don't want them to take a quarterback in the first round, the second round, the third round, the fourth round, the fifth round, the sixth round, the seventh round, the supplemental draft. They have no business taking a young signal caller considering the state of their roster right now, considering the state of their franchise.
What about an undrafted walk-on?
No. Doesn't make sense.
Not even practice squad?
Not even a practice. Unless they call me. Unless they call me. You see, I'm angling my way back into the sports world here. I'm trying to, at least. Somebody hit me up. The Defenders, they're playing there at home this weekend. Somebody hit me up. I'm walking 3.5 miles per day. I'm getting in shape. Let's do it, man. A lot more OT to get to here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always live and free on the Odyssey app as well. You can tweet at me. It's at NELL_BTP. A lot more to get to. Alex Ovechkin lit the lamp again last night. Caps struggling, though. Loses a 4 out of 5 as they get geared up for the postseason. We mentioned the big night that was last night in the association. Wizards on tap. We'll keep you up to speed with that all night long. When we come back, though, I quickly, briefly mentioned the NFL draft. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, the Commanders are on the clock with pick number 29. There was a big announcement made earlier this week at the Breakers in Florida for the owners' meetings. A certain somebody moving from his position he was drafted for. We'll spill the beans on that next here on The Fan.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Just getting rolling here on this Thursday night edition of Overtime. We're tapped in to the Augustin Charles and L. Willingham. We'll take you up to 10 p.m. Number to call is 1-800-636-1067. Keep you up to speed on the D.C. family all night long. They get ready to tip off coming up momentarily as they're in action against the Orlando Magic. Second half of a back-to-back for the Wizards. Last night, the Kodiak Washington Wizards knocking off the Sacramento Kings, 116-111. JT Thor, big-time triple. that sealed the deal for Washington. We'll see how they fare tonight in their second-to-last home game of the regular season. It has been an eventful season for the Washington Wizards, I'll say. A lot of positive, a lot of growth, and it feels like they're a hell of a lot closer to establishing an identity and setting a foundation and a culture than what they were when the season started, and that is the goal. Obviously, we'll wait and see coming up. Is it June? I think June is the draft lottery. Maybe it's May. I think June is the draft lottery, but we'll see how the ping pong balls bounce for the DC family, and that would really be like the icing on the cake, so to speak. If the Wizards...
June 25th.
June 25th. Can't wait. Mark your calendars, ladies and gentlemen. An evening... Last year, the draft lottery was on a Sunday, I think, if I'm not mistaken. It was on a Sunday last year.
It'll be a Wednesday this year.
So it'll be on a Wednesday this year, a random Wednesday in the middle of June. Okay. Fair enough. Hopefully the ping pong balls bounce in the Wizards' favor. They got to get a top three pick in order for this to be a success for me. I think you got to feel really good if you're the Wizards, if you come out of the draft with either Cooper Flagg out of Duke or Ace Bailey or Dylan Harper out of Rutgers. That's your best case scenario. Look, I think VJ Edgecombe is as good as any freshman in the country. Love the way Trey Johnson played this year for Texas. Love the way the big fella in the middle for Duke played. Love the way Knipple played. But I want one of those three. I want one of those three. Cross your fingers and make sure that you're watching on June 25th when the draft lottery actually happens. Like I said, we'll keep you on the Wizards, keep you up to speed on the Wizards all night long here as we roll throughout this Thursday night edition of Overtime. Right now, though, we're getting to the Burgundy and Gold. I mentioned we were talking a little bit about the NFL draft to start the opening segment of the show. I'm excited to see what happens with Travis Hunter. I'm excited to see where each of these young quarterbacks go. I'm also excited to see what Washington does at 29 overall. I really don't think at this point, I don't know what's wrong with my headset, Jack, but holy cow. Very annoying. But whatever happens in the draft, I feel like the Commanders are going to be in a great spot. I just do. I think this offseason, they've done the smart thing and treated free agency like the draft doesn't exist. I think I speak for everyone locally. And I guess that's a dangerous thing to do. Let me not speak for everyone locally, because they may think differently than I do. But I know my compadres are smart cookies. I don't think you can look at this Commanders roster as we sit here on April 3rd and say that, oh, they must do this at 29 overall. Oh, they have a glaring hole at this position, which is a really, really good spot to be in, man. They can go any which way, and you can justify it, whether it's running back, whether it's corner, whether it's an edge, whether it's an offensive tackle. I think they can go anywhere when it comes to the draft. The one thing that I'm going to be thinking about long and hard as we get geared up for the draft, and we'll take your calls on this throughout the night as well at 1-800-636-1067, is there a position that you would be kind of upset with? Is there a position that would make you roll your eyes if they selected it at 29 overall? And obviously quarterback, kicker, punter, the stupid positions that no one would ever think about drafting here.
Long snapper, perhaps?
Yeah. But you get what I'm saying. I don't think there's any position that I'd probably roll my eyes at, but for the sake of argument, if there's one position that I'd go, I don't know if I'm in favor of that, it might be offensive tackle. Might be offensive tackle, and for this reason, earlier this week out at the Breakers in Florida, Commanders head coach Dan Quinn, he spoke to the local media and had this to say about the current state of this Washington Commanders offensive line.
Talk about the line of scrimmage. You also add Laremy Tunsil. What does that do for the team, and what does that do for the rest of the O-line and Brandon Coleman?
Yeah, the addition of Laremy and playing out at tackle, he's had such experience and done it at a high level. And so when you can add somebody of that caliber, that's a big deal. And so, adding him right now into our mix, we're really pumped to have him. We can't wait to get him here. It's going to be a fun group to coach. These are, of the guys we've added, Adam and his staff did an excellent job. We were very specific about the commanders and who we wanted to have as part of this, and so Laramie's an ideal fit for us.
And then for Coleman, who, you know, rookie season gave you a lot at that spot.
Yep.
Probably moving now.
Yes.
What's the plan there?
He'll go to the right side.
Tackle?
Yes.
Wiley kick in for Cosby?
Yeah, you're getting way too far down the line. We got a lot of practice to go still. So, but yeah, he'll go on the right side. But as far as tackle or guard, we'll start at tackle. You know, that's where he's got lots of experience at, and we'll go there first. So that's the plan.
That's our pal J.P. Finley peppering head coach Dan Quinn with the questions about what's going to happen with the old offensive line. And as Dan Quinn alluded to, and we've talked about this for months here on Overtime, Brandon Coleman's moving a right tackle. Brandon Coleman is moving a right tackle. Doesn't mean he's going to start at right tackle come week one. It just means that is where he will get his first stab at it this offseason. And I'll be real with you, right? I've been very open and honest about this. I've been very vocal about this. I completely disagree with the move. It's not a move that I would make. And here is why. For starters, Brandon Coleman does not have the wealth of experience at tackle on the right side that he does at guard. And that's the position you all know that I want to kick him inside to. I think at right tackle, some of the same issues we saw with him last year, being out on an island and being forced to, you know, go mano a mano with some of the game's best edge rushers, it just wasn't his strength. I thought he was excellent in the run game. I thought he was a freak athlete getting out in space when it comes to the screen game. But putting him on the right side, to me, after he gave up 10 sacks a year ago, I'm just not sure that that is the best course of action for him moving forward. Now, I could be completely wrong. He could turn into a Pro Bowl right tackle. That's fine. I wish the best for him. I do know this. Whether he's at tackle, whether he's at guard, he will be one of your five starters come week one in September when the season's ready to roll. He's that damn good. He's a very good football player. I think we learned that last year. It wasn't perfect at left tackle, but he held his own for the most part. Washington clearly felt like they could upgrade. And what better way to upgrade than Laramie freaking Tunsil, one of the top three guys at the left tackle spot, in my opinion, in the entirety of the National Football League. So happy about that, of course. But it now raises the question of what happens next with Brandon Coleman. DQ says he's going to start out on the right side at right tackle. He's got to beat out Andrew Wiley for that spot. If he can beat out Andrew Wiley for the right tackle spot, damn it, start him at right tackle. The other way that you got to look at it is this. Because they're kicking him to right tackle, does it prevent you, if you're Washington, from drafting a tackle early? Whether it's a Josh Connerly, whether it's a Josh Simmons, the Oregon tackle and the Ohio State tackle, whether it's Ariante Ezeri, who I saw mock to Washington, the tackle out of Minnesota with pick number 61. Like, does this prevent you, if you're Washington, from taking a tackle? Because you know that you were moving Brandon Coleman to the right side. I would have to say that it does. That's just the way that I look at it. I don't know what the ultimate thought process is over there in Ashburn, but I do know this. With acquiring Laramie Tunsil, the big piece about it was that, look, you're getting better at two different spots. And I think that's the most important thing. You're getting better at two different spots. You're going to get better at left tackle, and you're going to get better at wherever Brandon Coleman moves to. So that's something exciting to look forward to. I think that's part of why you made the move. And if you read the tea leaves, whether it was Laramie Tunsil or another tackle, they were looking to upgrade the left tackle spot. As we heard from multiple accounts, that they were, you know, very much in on Ronnie Stanley, the tackle out of Baltimore, or the tackle from the Ravens, right? Like, that stuff, it makes sense. Makes sense that they were in on him, and now that they go get Laramie Tunsil. Like, that, to me, it's good team building. It's how you do it. They're not staying stagnant. They want to get better at every position, and I think they're in a really good space to do so. I think they're in a great position to do so. Either way, though, we'll continue to look ahead at the NFL draft as we move throughout the 7 o'clock hour here. When we come back, we'll play some more sound for you from the owners' meetings out in the Breakers in Florida. Dan Quinn, Adam Peters, both of which touched on the NFL draft. Let's hear from them next. This is The Fan.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's Almased.com.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
+1 800 636 1067, the number. You can tweet at me as well. It is at NELL underscore BTP. Thursday night edition of Overtime right here on The Fan. We'll take you up to 10 p.m. DC family in action, down 14-7 early at home. Second half of a back-to-back as they take on Paolo Banchero and the Orlando Magic. Wizards down a bunch of guys here tonight, but it's not going to stop them from competing their tail off in this one. We'll keep you up to speed all night long on Wizards and Magic. We'll talk a little bit about Alex Ovechkin and the Caps as we roll into the 8 o'clock hour here tonight. But right now, I want to keep the conversation on the Washington Commanders. We'll let you hear from Dan Quinn last segment, who, you know, gave us the news that, yeah, they're going to move Brandon Coleman to right tackle. Knowing what we know about the NFL draft, and we're, what, 21 days away from the start of the NFL draft, is there a position that if Washington selects them at 29, you'll go, oh, brother, right? Outside of quarterback, punter, long snapper, kicker, is there a position that will make you roll your eyes? 1-800-636-1067. Before we get to your calls here real quick, I want to let you hear from Adam Peters, the GM of the Washington Commanders. He had this to say about Washington potentially wheeling and dealing in the NFL draft.
You take each opportunity as they come, right? And so understanding where, you know, we were able to get really good players at really good, like, important positions, there's give and take to that, right? And so we did pick 9 players last year. I think they all made the team, right? And then we had 2 rookie free agents make the team as well. So we have 5 picks this year. We could have more, you know, depending on what happens. It's almost a full complement both years. Obviously, you do want to build through the draft, and I feel that all the time. But understanding when you can get, you know, a premier corner, a premier receiver, a premier left tackle, those are things you have to really look into. And we just felt that was the best move for us.
It's Adam Peters justifying them moving off of draft capital and whether or not they may trade down to acquire more picks. I think as we sit here on April 3rd, no one knows which way they're going to go. I don't think it's some foregone conclusion that they trade out of 29. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that they trade out of 61. A lot has to go right for you to move off of a draft pick. You got to have a team willing to trade up, and you got to have a pot of players that you're comfortable selecting 5, 6, 7 spots down the line. So that's the big part in this. But right now, is there a position that you wouldn't want Washington to draft at 29? For me, if I had to say one, it's probably It's probably offensive tackle because you're moving Coleman there. So your left tackle solidified, your right tackle solidified. Doesn't make sense to me to draft another tackle. What say you? 1-800-636-1067. Elijah's in D.C. What's chiming in?
What's going on, Elijah? Yo, what's going on, Liddell?
What's going on?
Appreciate the taking my call, man. I don't think that Washington has consistently drafted well enough in the first round for me to confidently be like, no, we don't need this. We're still trying to recover from years and years of bad decision making. So I think this team just needs to continue to have better guys on it. There is no guarantee with Brandon Coleman at right tackle. At least, well, I'm not in that building. For them, maybe they say it's a surefire thing. But if you squeeze another guy at that position at 29, you may get a guy who has the ability. You know, what, we lost Corey Lucas, and I'm not suggesting that we go get a swing tackle at 29, but I'm saying that maybe if we get another guy, we have to protect five. We know that we've invested a lot. We know how important that asset is at the quarterback position. So why not? Why not have more guys that's capable of giving him an opportunity?
I get what you're saying, but at some point you got to have need as a part of your thought process here.
I don't know what Cosby doing. We don't know. Wiley's still kind of getting some. He getting some age on him. I don't know.
I would roll the hell out of my eyes. You know, Elijah.
We saw them get pushed around in the latter part of
for
this
sure.
Year.
But they've upgraded the offensive line, Elijah. How much more can you upgrade?
Laramie Thompson's cool. I'm not saying he isn't, and sure, with Debo and different concepts, you can protect the offensive line. And that's Washington, they're looking in the mirror. They know they're putting themselves in position, which, like, that's what we know. We got a premier left tackle. We got a premier receiver, you know, obviously with Terry Debo coming through. We got the right tools and the right places to kind of be able to make good decisions. So regardless, I think we just need to sit tight, let the draft do what it do, and I think we'll be in good shape. But I haven't seen enough, and I seen low-key Jalen Carter, what he did to our center at a certain point. So let's be real, Linnell.
You're trying to replace Biotis now, Elijah? Come on,
that's my big dog. That's the big homie. He's an animal. I'm not suggesting that you upgraded him, but I said we just need more guys that's like on that line. Because Jaden Daniels, he's going to need time, dog.
For sure.
Then everything goes out. We strong on the lines. We can figure out the rest, big dog. Both sides of the ball, defense, offense. We got to get these trenches right. We can mop teams up with passing and doing. No, bro, we need to physical. I want that TV falling off my screen. And I don't know if we still. When I saw Philly, I'm tired of talking about them. I'm a Commanders fan, but I'm seeing with my eyes. I'm like, nah, Joe, they knocking that TV off the screen, big dog. We got to be real. We got to be real, man.
Appreciate the call as always, Elijah. 1-800-636-1067. I don't. Tackle would be a no-no for me. And maybe that's a spicy take. Oh, what a move. A.J. Johnson. Oh-wee! Maybe I'm wrong for it, though. Let's see what Captain Todd has to say. What's going on, Todd?
What's going on, Manel?
How you doing, brother?
Good, buddy. First of all, if you are suiting up for the Wizards, I am on a plane from Florida. I'm making a Youngest in Charge Movement t-shirt. I'm buying floor seats. I am there, man. I am your biggest fan. I am on the floor. I'm on the way.
Well, look, man, I've been getting it in, man. I've been an L.A. Fitness All-Star the past couple of weeks.
There we go. Good. I like that, man. I think, you know, this a little bit of a sneaky hot take, I guess, but I think teams are going to trade up at the end of the first round to get that fifth-year option and take, you know, someone like Jalen Milroe. And I think there's going to be some options for us to move down. But for your question, if they take a tight end, I'm not happy about it.
Really? So there's one guy. If Colston Loveland falls to 29, I mean, he would be in the conversation for best player available. Tight end's not the position I would look at and go roll your eyes if they take it. Because I mean, how much longer is Zach Ertz really going to play? How healthy will Zach Ertz stay this year?
They just re-signed John Bates to a three-year contract. They just took Ben Sinnott in a very high pick in the second round last year. You're basically saying we messed up with Ben Sinnott.
Which
we
is okay. Wrong. I'm not mad at the admitting fault if that's the case.
But that is so low on the, I mean,
oh my God. I can't hear you right about the call anymore. The headphone jack just completely crapped out.
Uh-oh. You can't hear me no more?
Todd, if you're there, I'm having trouble with the headphone jack. We'll take a quick timeout. We come back. More overtime here on The Fan. +1 800-636-1067, the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. A lot more to get to here on this Thursday night edition of Overtime. We'll take you up to 10 o'clock. Wizards in action right now. Up 2 with 1:46 left to go in the opening quarter over the Orlando Magic. Bump Carrington carrying over his big offensive game from last night. Hot start for him. 11 points in 8 minutes on 4 or 5 shooting. So young Bump Carrington trying to do whatever he can to solidify himself as the backcourt or point guard, rather, of the future for the Washington Wizards. I'm interested to see with this group how they view themselves internally going into the draft. Because we're only 6 games away now from the regular season being over. I wonder if they get the chance to draft the Dylan Harper. Do they feel like they've got a logjam in their backcourt? Because you've got A.J. Johnson. You've got Bub Carrington. You've got Jordan Poole. Would it make sense to add a Dylan Harper to that mix? It's going to be a very, very interesting conversation as we continue to move throughout the offseason here, as we get geared up for the draft lottery and we find out where exactly the Wizards are going to be picking. But we'll talk about the Wizards a little bit more as we roll throughout the show here. Right now, I want to continue to exhaust all of the potential draft options for the Washington Commanders as we're about 3 weeks away, 3 weeks to the day from the NFL draft getting started out in Green Bay, Wisconsin this year. Can't believe that the draft is in Green Bay. It's a very unique place, my opinion at least, to have an NFL draft. I don't know if it's going to be outside. I don't know how they're going to do it, if it's inside of Lambeau or whatever. I do know this. It's going to be cold as hell out there. I don't care if it's April. We're talking about Wisconsin. Wisconsin, of all places, so definitely looking forward to that. What Washington does in the draft is another topic of conversation here. Right now, they're slated to pick number 29 overall. Depending on how the board shakes out, I could see a scenario where they trade back. I could see a scenario where they stick and pick. As we sit here right now, though, like, I don't know which way they're going to lean. I think it really is going to be about how the board shakes out. I think the edge rushers in this class are going to get pushed up this board. And it feels like to me, when it comes to the edge rushers in this class, I don't know how many of them will be there at 29 that's actually worth the first round pick. Right? We know Jaylon Walker's going to go in the first round. We know Mykel Williams goes in the first round. We know James Pierce is going to go in the first round. Shamar Stewart. It's going to go in the first round. Mike Green out of Marshall. Donovan Ezeraku out of Boston College. I actually want to get back to Shamar Stewart here for a second. I've seen Shamar Stewart marked as high as 9th to New Orleans in this draft. There's just no way I would feel comfortable. And this is for Washington as well. In 3 seasons at College Station, Texas A&M, in 3 seasons total, he had 4.5 sacks. You know how terrible of production that is? To have 4.5 sacks through 3 seasons in college, I don't care what excuse you want to use. I don't care what you have to say about what he was asked to do. 4.5 sacks through 4 years is 4.5 sacks, point blank. So, yeah, at 6'5", 267, running a 4.5, in a 1.58 10-yard split, like, that's elite stuff for the edge rusher spot. I get that. The production, though, is simply not there, and I would have a really difficult time drafting him at 29. James Pierce, another guy that could potentially be there for Washington at 29. Ran 4.5, quickest 10-yard split at the combine, but the one thing that you keep hearing about with James Pierce, who's a little bit undersized at 245 pounds on the edge, a little bit undersized in terms of setting the edge. One, he didn't set the edge well in college. Let's just be real, right? And for his size, you understand why. I don't like that I've heard questions about his character, questions about how hot his motor runs. See, there is a certain, the phrase that I've heard used is the commander tag. Heard Logan Paulson use it a lot on the Take Command podcast with their pal Craig Hoffman. The commander tag. The commander tag doesn't apply to anybody that doesn't play with their hair on fire. It just doesn't. So, like, yeah, if James Pierce is there at 29 and they take him, it's a massive gamble. It just is. He doesn't fit, in my opinion, from a character standpoint, what Washington's looking for based on the reports. And let me, you know, be very specific about that based on the reports. Because I haven't talked to anybody from the University of Tennessee. I haven't talked to anybody that's scouting him right now in the draft. But that's what you hear. That's the tea, so to speak, on James Pierce, is that his motor doesn't run hot. Don't know how hard he's going to play. I'd have a difficult time taking him at 29. Mike Green out of Marshall. When there are domestic violence, you know, charges or domestic violence situations circling around your name, and it's the reason that you transferred. It's not.
Let's say allegations here.
Allegations, whatever the hell you want to call it. It's not something that you want to have attached to you, and it would make you undraftable for me, especially in this situation where we're building a foundation and building a culture of high character young men. Not saying that Mike Green's not a high character young guy. I just won't know. One way or another, because I wouldn't take him. I just wouldn't. The edge rusher that feels like he's climbing up the boards here, that Washington's had a whole lot of familiarity with, one, because Ken Norton Jr., linebacker's coach, coached him at UCLA, is Oluwafemi Oladejo, the edge rusher out of UCLA. I continue to hear that this young man has everything you want in a commander. Plays with his hair on fire. Really good Senior Bowl. Can play with power. Got some knockback ability. And at 6'3", 260, that's the type of frame, I think, that would allow you to set the edge on a consistent basis, playing the run, playing the pass. So he's an edge that I definitely would be in on. Donovan Azaraku, as I mentioned earlier, an edge that I certainly would be in on. I haven't watched everybody in this class. There are certain positions, obviously, right, that you pay closer attention to because we obviously cover the Commanders, right? Watched a lot of the corners, watched a lot of the edges. Early in the process, was watching the tackles. We've watched some of the safeties, have watched running back. When I look at Donovan Azaraku at defensive end, commander all day long. The sack production's there. You see him play the run well. When you cut on his tape, though, man, it is very clear and obvious. This guy loves football. This guy plays with his hair on fire. And honestly is a better athlete than people are giving him credit for. He's got first step quickness. He can bend. He's got everything that you want. 16 and a half sacks last year. Yeah, he's a little bit undersized at 250, but he's strong at the point of attack. He's going to set the edge against the run, and he's chasing down plays backside. He's running downfield, chasing plays as a defensive end. He's got the motor, right, that James Pierce doesn't have. So if it came down to those two, you know who I'm turning in the card for. 1-800-636-1067. As we continue to talk about the NFL draft here, is there a position that if Washington selected them at 29 overall, you'd roll your eyes and say, oh, gosh, not this guy, Don't want him here in town. 1-800-636-1067. We'll take your calls on that. Plus, we'll take a look at Field Yates of ESPN.com. He put together a two-round mock earlier this week. We'll tell you who he had coming to Ashburn on the other side of this break. That's next here on The Fan. Field Yates of ESPN.com put together a two-round mock draft earlier this week on ESPN.com, and I don't wouldn't say I hate the picks for Washington, but based on the way the board played out, I guess Field did an okay job. He's got Washington in the first round drafting safety Nicky Minwori out of the University of South Carolina would be your ideal Jeremy Chinn replacement. And I'll be real here, right? Minwori, physical specimen, 43-inch vertical, ran 4.38, stands at 6'3". I mean, he is a unicorn at the safety position and would be very similar to Jeremy Chinn, a better athlete than Jeremy Chinn. I think even Jeremy Chinn would even admit that. So I don't hate the pick there at all. If that's who they consider to be the best player on the board, I'm all for it. It's tough because Donovan Azaraku is still on the board, right? A guy like Tyler Booker is still on the board. Emeka Egbuka was still on the board. So I don't know if I would go that way if I was Washington when you consider those guys. And that's where you go, you start picking for need versus who's your best player available. So, like, it's an interesting dynamic. In the second round, pick number 61, he has Washington trading out of that pick. And here is the details of the trade. Washington would hand over pick number 61 and pick number 112 in exchange for picks from the New Orleans Saints. Now, he didn't. Field Yates. I mean, am I wrong for this? Do I get to call Field Yates out? Field Yates out? How the hell are you going to mock a trade into your mock draft and not give the full terms of the deal, Field? What the hell are we doing here? Got me sounding stupid up here. I'm sitting here trying to read, well, what is Washington going to get back if they do trade out of 61? I couldn't believe it. Can't believe it. But okay. He has Washington trading down from 61. I think it's a possibility that they do it. I also want to say this. Like, it's not some foregone conclusion that, you know, Washington trades out of 29 or 61. I continue to say it. Whoever's on the board will determine this, point blank. And I trust Adam Peters and company that they're going to try and bring in as many impactful football players as possible. Chris, if we got cut number 5 ready, it's Adam Peters expounding more upon his thoughts entering the NFL draft.
You know, that's certainly something that we'll consider. We'll consider everything, trading up, trading down. We always do. You know, with trading down, you have to have somebody who wants to trade up, you know. And that's what I always say, like, I'd love to trade down all the time, but there has to be somebody else that wants to trade up, and it has to be the right deal. And how far do you want to go back? And all those different things you take into account. Who's there on the board, right? Is there just one player on the board that you want? And if that's the case, then maybe you think twice about trading back, because, you know, but if you have 5 players on the board that you really like, you can trade back a few picks, and then you can just pick one of those. And I think, you know, with what we did in free agency and through the trades, we have the optionality to really do anything at 29, which we feel really good about.
It's Commander GM Adam Peters giving us the skinny on his thought process as we get geared up for the NFL draft. Trading up is interesting. I don't see many scenarios in which they trade up, but, like, never say never, right? What I'm also interested in as we get closer to the draft is what happens ultimately with Trey Hendrickson and the Cincinnati Bengals. He went on the Pat McAfee show yesterday and let it all hang out, talking about, you know, how he feels kind of disrespected by Cincinnati. And the conversations have been few and far between when it comes to them negotiating a long-term deal for him. I've always been in this camp. If Washington had to move off of 61 to get Trey Hendrickson, I'd do it.
I think he also said they hadn't even really talked to his agent at all.
Yeah, it was doesn't look good.
No.
Doesn't look good in terms of how the Bengals are handling the situation.
I bet he's going to have to hold out is what's going to happen. If they're not talking to him, he's going to have to hold out.
I don't think it's going to get to that point because they would just trade him. I mean, at some point, you got to rid yourself of the headache. And I think if you are Cincinnati, it doesn't make any sense what you're doing here. Are you going to beat teams 47-45? Like, for you to move off of Trey Hendrickson, for you to not pay Trey Hendrickson after what he has done, that's the thing, Chris. Like, the production is 17 and a half sacks the past 2 years. Like, how the hell are you?
Each.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Thank you for correcting me on that.
Not just in 2 years. That's each year.
Of the last two years.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Like, so I don't know what more you're supposed to do. What I wonder is this, and I think you can draw this comparison to corporate America as well, right? If I'm a member of the Bengals, I'm looking like, well, if they're going to treat Trey Hendrickson like this, who's been a stand-up guy, come to work on time, produces at a super high level, I think it sends mixed messaging across your organization in terms of like, hey, is this going to be a city that pays me if I, you know, produce? And that's not the sort of reputation that you want to gain as a franchise, is that you're skinny and penny pinching. Point blank.
I mean, it also doesn't seem like they want to just re-sign him long term.
Well, that's what he was saying on McAfee, is that they had talked 3 seasons ago. He first brought it to their attention of, hey, like, I'm looking for long-term security. I know you, somebody that has kids, can relate to what he's saying. Bro, imagine, like, you're trying to start a family and start trying to do the thing that allows you to have a baby, and you're worried about, you're telling your wife or your significant other, like, hey, we're not going to be here long-term. We may have to switch our kids' school. He's looking for long-term stability and security so he can know, hey, my kid's going to grow up in this school district. Hey, my kid's going to grow up in this neighborhood. I think we take it for granted a lot of the times when we talk about these NFL cats in terms of like why they hold out for contracts, why they want this long-term security. It's not always about the money. It's about clarity in your life as well.
Yeah, for sure.
It's absolutely...
I mean, who wants to have those big question marks looming down the road every season or whatever,
especially when
you know?
You've already produced. It's not like you're, you know, some rookie wet behind the ears, breath smelling like Similac. You've proved it if you're Trey Hendrickson.
But it seems so different than like what the Browns did with Miles, right?
Hey,
like,
Miles Garrett's... But,
sure, but they...
Miles Garrett
They eventually
is,
were
is
like, well, look, we'll put a dump truck full of money Miles here. You're just going to stay here, right?
Miles is full of it.
Sure,
Miles
but,
is
but eventually they did that, and like at least you know they're like, look, we do want you here long term, and here's a big bunch of money, and we're gonna keep you here. They're not doing that in Cincinnati. It's not that scenario where they're just like, oh yeah, well you know, it seems like they don't really want him there that much.
Because Mike Brown,
because Mike Brown
in the front office, they're a bunch of idiots. Bengals got one of the worst front offices in all the NFL. They're idiots, stuck on stupid.
I mean, the Browns don't have one of the best front offices either. It's not run away.
Yeah, that's why they're stupid. That's why they paid Miles Garrett, because they're stupid. It's no way in hell.
No,
I
paid Deshaun Watson. I mean, we get it. They're not like
exactly. I would have traded. I would have 100% traded Miles Garrett. Don't know what the hell that they were thinking. 6 minutes left to go in the first half. As we get back to the Wizards for a second, they're now 14. As they're shorthanded going up against the Orlando Magic. Keep you up to speed on that game all night long. We'll talk about the NBA in more detail as we roll into the 9 o'clock hour here tonight. We'll touch on Buzz Williams, the new head coach in College Park. I'm so glad that this saga is finally over so everyone around here can stop bitching and moaning and crying about Kevin Willard leaving. I've been so tired of hearing everybody cry and complain and moan and groan. It's the state of college basketball. Gosh. Can we go back to Captain Todd? He's going to think I'm yelling at him.
Go back. I think he's been patient.
Hey, buddy, are you yelling at me about the Terps now?
Well, damn it. David, I am.
This guy's funny. I like this guy.
I was a Terp, man. I listened to the national championship from the holding cell at Seven Locks prison. So,
oh my goodness, man, hold on, Ty. I've had numerous of family members that's very familiar with Seven Locks.
Yeah,
that is hilarious. On my way to college. What the hell were you doing back in 2001?
I was going to University of Maryland. I was a student there. I was on my way to College Park that day to, we'll just say, celebrate in the streets.
Ah, okay, for sure.
And I never made it to College Park. I ended up in Seven Locks.
I'm not laughing.
It's cool. That was a long time ago. And luckily, the lovely people at Seven Locks establishment, correctional facility, did have the game on, so I was able to listen to it. I couldn't see the TV because it was not in front of the jail cell. I was down the hallway a little bit. But I was able to listen to the national championship from the holding tank there. So that was wonderful.
Attaboy. Attaboy.
Yeah, I'm a Terp. You know, I'm
for sure.
If that doesn't describe a Terp, full and through, man.
You're right. On. Yeah, 100%. Look, I brought up the Terps because I feel like I understand what everyone's frustration was. Like, the guy lied and he wasn't honest and he was openly talking about it as they're supposed to be preparing for a game. But it's just the state of college athletics, man. Don't take it personal, right? Like, Kevin Willard didn't have it out for the Terps. Like, he didn't hate Maryland. I just think that he, you know, saw a more attractive gig and said, yeah, I'm going to take it. Look, I do the same thing here at radio. If NFL Network comes calling, you bet your ass I'm going to pick up the phone and listen. I mean, it's just anybody in any profession should feel that way. I think the venom and the backlash towards Kevin Willard was a little bit excessive. Just my thought.
Yeah, I agree, dude. If the LA Rams called Lynnelle Willingham and they offered you $1 million a year to call their games,
oh,
they do
my goodness, I'd be on the first flight, first thing smoking out of D.C.
Yeah, and I'm a freelance captain. Like, I'm freelance. So whoever gives me the best bag, the best job, the best projects, perfect. I'm out. I'm not going to sign a 6-year contract. You know, and people are mad at Buzz, like, oh, he's going to leave in 4 years. Like, oh, yeah, okay.
If he does, who cares?
Kevin Willard just left after 3.
Yeah, I mean,
that's just what you do, man. You get a job at AU or George Mason or McNeese or Hofstra or something, and you do good for a year or two, and someone offers you $5 million a year to go to Iowa or Illinois or someone else. What are you going to do?
It's a stepping stone, man.
Yeah, you're going to go, man. That's just the world. That's just what happens. I know JP was – and I actually know JP, like, personally, like, from back in the day.
Okay.
And he was so personally upset for a hot minute. And then he was like, you know what? I'm all in on Buzz. We're on to Cincinnati.
And that's the mentality. That's the mentality that I appreciate, that I think everybody should have. Is like, look, the same problems that Kevin Willard was talking about, Buzz Williams is going to have to deal with it as well. I wonder, Buzz, I consider him an upgrade because his time at Tech, he knows this recruiting landscape already because he spent time here in the DMV. That, to me, is what's most important. Will he be able to keep the local talent that is here? I'm watching Bub Carrington on the screen right now. Why the hell did Bub have to go play for Pitt? Why wasn't Bub a Terp? Why wasn't Bub a Hoya? See what I'm saying? So
yeah, and they, you know, what's funny is they're like, well, and I actually think this was a good move. This, you know, best case scenario, you have no AD, things are in turmoil. You got to establish veteran, good coach who's been to the Sweet 16, you know, 4 or 5 times. He's going to be good. I like Dwayne Simpkins and stuff, and, you know, maybe 4 or 5 years down the road we can talk about him.
Yeah.
But Derrick Queen wasn't staying here with or without Willard.
Well, hold your horses, you know, on the Derrick Queen thing, because he hasn't officially declared for the NBA draft, and if you follow him on social media, he has hinted at maybe, just maybe, he would return to College Park. We're killing the clock, Todd. I appreciate us some time, always, my friend. We'll take a quick timeout when we come back. Top of the 8 o'clock hour here in our nation's capital. We'll continue to talk all things NFL draft. Our pal Joe DeLeon from A to Z Sports is going to join us here in the 8 o'clock hour talking all things NFL draft. We keep it on.